talking about the purpose of trials. The title of the message is Faith in the Fire. Fire is synonymous with a trial, a test that we might go through in this life. I want to talk about the purpose of the fire. I also want to speak about how we as believers should respond in the fire. And lastly, I want to focus on how, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we can have faith in the middle of the fire. I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Peter, this scripture in Peter is a scripture about encouragement. The people of that time, the believers of that time, they were going through trials. And it refers to it as temptations here, but please don't be confused with a temptation to sin. That's not what this is talking about. Because God doesn't tempt us to sin. We're drawn away of our own lust and desires for temptations to sin. This temptation, the meaning means a test or a trial that comes upon you that God allows for a purpose. Tried with fire. The Old Testament, there are several scriptures that refer to God as being the refiner. One of the things that's happening to me in this fire is I'm being purified. What does refinement do? We are compared to gold and how gold is made. We know that gold is made pure when it goes through fire. And in like manner, we as Christians, as believers, we're made pure going through God's fire, trials and temptations. You see, a fire, a refiner, is meant to take something that's valuable, like our souls. You know, we're valuable to the Lord. He gave his only son for us. And Jesus gave his life for us. So that should tell you how valuable your life, your soul is to him. So refinement takes something that's valuable and it removes impurities from it. And fire does that with gold the same way that God does that with us. Oh, it's not easy being in fire. It burns. It hurts. It's painful at times. It brings tears. It brings doubt. It brings confusion. But it's all for a purpose, to remove the things from us that are of not of him. Purpose of the fire, the first thing is to purify us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Another thing that's happening to me in this trial, in the middle of this fire, I know I'm a living sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, they used animals that they would kill and place on the altar. That animal had no life. But Paul said that we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I know I'm not holy, and of myself I'm not acceptable, and I can't be until I'm purified and made righteous in the Lord. See, when you're going through something, You stay on the altar because it's a place of uncertainty. It's a place of the unknown. And you are forced to put your hope and your trust in him, the only one that can help you. You can't even help yourself in certain trials. I can't help myself. I am doing all that I know to do, but the trial is still here. So I'm living out as a sacrifice, and I'm placing myself on the altar. And see, this is sometimes why we are taken through a trial. Because when things are going good, sometimes we don't think we have a need to lay out before God, to surrender to him. That's what the altar is about. It's about surrender. In my mind and in my heart, I think I surrendered everything, but maybe I haven't. Maybe you haven't today. Your trial may not be mine, but it's often said that either you're in a trial, you just came out of one, or you're about to go into one. Because that's just part of this life that we live. So purpose of the fire is to purify us and also to keep our hearts humble before the Lord so that we can stay in a place of surrender to him on the altar. Living sacrifice. James chapter 1 verse 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I've read this scripture multiple times. I know you've heard it. But I looked up that word patience. Because the place that I'm in, it's been difficult to be patient. It's been difficult to wait on the Lord. I'm one of those people that I'm used to doing things on my own. And too many times I rely on my own strength. And like I said, I'm doing all I know to do, and the trial is still here. So God is showing me what it really means, trying of your faith worketh patience. I think I'm patient in some things, but maybe I'm falling short. I don't know. The meaning of that word, cheerful, hopeful, endurance. Endurance, the ability to remain steadfast and unmovable under pressure. God is working that out in me. Because I'm waking up every day still not knowing how long I'm going to be in this trial. And in the first few weeks, I'm like, oh, this may only last a month. Oh, it may last two. Well, I'm beyond three more months now, and I'm still here. So I don't know when it's going to end. But it's teaching me that patience, to be steadfast and unmovable in my faith, in my trust, in the one who knows everything. He knew it. It caught me completely by surprise. But how many know that God knows all things? And this is why when I pray, I ask God to go before me and to prepare the way, prepare my heart and my mind for what I'm going to face in the day, because I don't know, but he knows. And he can order my steps, and he can lead me, and he can guide me, and he can give me the word that I need at that moment to strengthen me in those moments. And I'd like to say that, you know, my faith hasn't wavered, and I haven't had thoughts of doubt or unbelief, but I would not be telling the truth. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of a trial, and that's why I say that altar is necessary, you have to just surrender that to the Lord. Submit that thought, that doubt that you're having, that negativity that the enemy just continues to speak to you. You have to give it to Jesus. You can't carry that. You can't hold it, because it's a weight that we are not meant to carry. The purpose of the fire It's to help to build our patience, to strengthen our faith. Because why do we need strong faith? I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. I felt his presence. But it's called faith because we believe in something that we haven't seen. We read the words of God, of God's word, and we know it to be true. And in our that is what our faith is. It is a faith walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. We sing a song even when I can't feel it and when I can't see it, I know God is working. His word tells me that. All things, even this trial that I'm in, everything that I go through, he's working it all together for my good. Trials don't feel good. This doesn't feel good to me. Your trial may not be mine. Maybe it's a death in the family. Maybe it's something financial. Maybe it's something spiritual. Maybe you're battling within yourself. I don't know what it is, but a trial is never going to be easy for us. It's not meant to be. Because fire has a purpose. It purifies us. It humbles us. It causes us to surrender to the Lord. It works patience in us that helps us to endure. I want to be the soldier that endures hardship. And I can only do that if I remain in the fire, if I'm taken through the fire. I cannot become pure gold without going through the fire. It's a part of it. John 16 and 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." This is Jesus talking. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, the fire exists simply because we are living in a fallen world. We go through trials, we go through issues. God's word says that those who are in Christ shall suffer persecution. So we're going to go through things in this life. And I heard someone say once, you know, well, why shouldn't I just live like I want to live? You know, if I can be a Christian, I'm going to give up all these things and I'm going to go through stuff anyway. But see, we're not going through it alone. And I'm going to get to that. I don't want to move ahead of myself. But Jesus himself told us to be of good cheer. Because I don't care if you are in a trial from the day you're born to the day that you die on this earth. Our life is but a dot on the map compared to eternity. So when we place our faith in Jesus and we place our trust in what the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross, we may have hardship and trials in this life, but far greater waits for us in eternity. That's part of the hope that we have as believers. And I've kind of shared with you some things that I have or how I have responded, but I want to use the scripture to share with how we should be responding in the middle of the fire. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And in Proverbs 10 and 19, I don't know the exact scripture, but it speaks about how in the multitude of words, when you talk a lot, it's easier to sin, but it's wise to be quiet, not to talk so much. To restrain your lips. So one of the first things that I did, I didn't want to do it because I'm a talker and I like to share and I like to tell, but I allowed the God that leads my husband to lead me to be quiet and just to be at peace for a while and keep this because God is doing something in it. And there may be a time that I'm released to share it, but right now, peace and quiet is what I'm being called to. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear, because in silence, see, if you're talking all the time, if you're opening up your mouth, it can lead to complaining. It can fester anger or bitterness that may be in your heart. And those that you may be sharing it with may not share your burden. If you're going to share it with someone that you know is not just going to take that information and gossip and go about. They're going to go to God for you. Our flesh wants us to talk, wants us to be angry, wants us to place blame on others, wants us to take the matter into our own hands. But see, when we do that and it doesn't work out like we want to, then it leads to doubt and it leads to confusion. And we just give up. So the first thing we should do in response to being in the fire is to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Listen to the Lord and what he's telling you, what he's trying to show you. I've been seeing so many things that I can't even share it all. But I know that this is purposed. And what's funny is the morning that this trial started in my life, I was up early, about 4 a.m, praying and asking God to intervene. But I didn't think this is how it was gonna happen. Because, you know, we ask God for things, and in the back of our mind, we already have the answer how we want it to play out. But God has a different plan for the situation. In Psalm 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks to the Lord for all things. The rest of that psalm is a song. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Have I had fear? Yes. I've experienced it all. I've experienced all the emotions in the middle of this trial. But praise continually keeps me grounded, keeps me focused on the Lord. You see me up here during praise and worship, and you may see me, my tears, sometimes they're tears of joy and sometimes sadness, but it's all about me just praising God for who he is, no matter what the situation. You can praise him in good, in bad, indifferent. He deserves our praise. I think about Job, our brother who lost everything but his life. And the word says, Job worshiped. He rent his clothes and he worshiped God. And he said, bless be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away. How often do we have that mindset when we're going through a trial? We need to learn how to praise in the middle of the fire. God is calling us to praise. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer, we talk about it all the time. It should be a staple in your life. We cannot be who we are supposed to be in Christ without having a faithful prayer life. But even more so in the middle of the fire, prayer is so, so important. If you're not praying, you will be consumed by fear. If you're not praying, you will be consumed by worry. You will be consumed by anxiety. But his word here tells us that in exchange for all those things, when we pray, he gives us peace. I don't even understand the peace that I have right now. I don't. But I know it's divine. I know that God has given it to me. Because in my flesh, I would be a mess. But because I am choosing to stay in prayer, choosing to continue to surrender myself to the Lord, it is a choice. You can choose to walk in your flesh in the middle of a trial, but you don't have to do that today. You can stay in prayer. You can stay in his word like I've been. I'm doing a personal, this trial has taken me to do a, it's calling me to do a personal study on the life of Paul. Because our brother Paul went through so many things and he yet surrendered it all to the Lord. And so I'm learning and I'm growing spiritually as I'm studying. So God, you know, can use a trial to draw you closer to him in a way that you've never experienced. And that's what I'm going through. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not to our own understanding. We always think we know better than God. And we don't may not do it intentionally, but we have to learn to rest in him. We have to allow his word to be the lamp and to be the unto our feet and the light unto our pathway and to show us when we don't know. I don't know. And I can admit that today. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening just the same. In all, I must trust him. I must trust his word. I must trust that God will work this all out for my good. How do we have faith even in the fire? We can look at our brothers, our Hebrew brothers. In Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 16 and read through 18, and I'm going to jump down to verse 25. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image thou hast set up. They are thrown in the fiery furnace that is made seven times hotter because they chose to worship God and God alone. And it angered the king, and he put them in there, and the fire was so hot, we know the story, that the men who put them in there died. They were burned up. And I jump down to 25, and it says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see, going into this trial, they didn't know what to expect, but they knew that God was able. They said, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to worship your God. We're still only going to worship the one and only true and living God. How many times in the middle of a trial do we doubt whether or not God is able? I've known from the beginning of this trial that God is able. I know that. I've seen his hand move too many times in my life. Move mountains and heal bodies, everything. I've seen it. I've seen miracles. So how do we keep our faith? We keep our faith by knowing that God is able. Whether you come, he's going to either walk with you, keep you from going in that fire. He's going to come with you in that fire. or he'll take you out of it. Paul had a thorn in his side that was never removed. So you may have a trial that you have until you die. But God gave, what did he say? His grace was sufficient for Paul. And his grace is sufficient for me. And his grace is sufficient for you. So no matter what trial you are experiencing, know first that God is able to deliver you. Our story, my story, yours may not be like the Hebrew boys. You may not be brought out of the fire in this life. How many people know someone who saved that prayed for healing, but God chose for them to be healed on the other side? Does that mean that God could not have healed them? That he could not have raised them up? No. But he is God and he does all things well. So no matter how it turns out, I don't know how this is going to end. I think I might know, but I don't. And I don't know when. But I know that I trust him and I trust his hand and I trust my life in his hands. So no matter what happens, God is able today. And that is how I remain in my faith, how I stand steadfast, unmovable in my faith, because I know my God is able. He's able. What does the scripture say? To do exceedingly abundantly and above all that I can even ask or think. So I don't know, but I trust the man. I trust our God who knows all things. I don't have it, but he owns it all. So today, I am encouraging you, whatever you fire you are in this morning, maybe it's a personal battle that you have with your flesh. You need some self-control in some areas of your life. Maybe it is financial. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's your child, your adult child, your family, a friend. We are all going through something at one time or another. But God is saying this morning that in the fire, there is a purpose for it. He is with you in it. And whether you are removed from it or you remain or he pulls you out, God is able today. Amen. I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you this morning. And although being in the fire is never easy, we know, Lord, that it has a purpose. And God, I ask this morning that my church family here in the building and any of my brothers and sisters listening online are encouraged today. No matter what they may be going through, that you are with them, God. That you are all powerful, you are all knowing, and that absolutely nothing in this world is impossible for you. Where there is doubt, God, help our unbelief. Where we are weak, God, give us strength. Where we waver, Lord God, in our thoughts and our actions and in our deeds, Lord, help us to fully surrender all of that to you this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for the fire, but even more so, we thank you for being with us in the fire and bringing us out, Lord, according to your will in your perfect way. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God for the word. Let's give Minister Angela a hand clap for that word. That was a powerful word. Faith in the fire. We thank you for being in church with us today. We thank you for joining us online as well. We do have a few announcements. There will be no Bible class this Wednesday. This Wednesday, we're taking a break. We'll start again the following Wednesday on Ephesians. And we do have the Money in the Master Seminar on September the 19th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you are needing some financial savviness, please come out and hear. And remember, as always, to support this ministry so you could just hear the word and make sure the gospel is going to those hearts out there who are not able to receive it. We will stand to have a quick prayer and dismiss. Heavenly Father, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. So we thank you for this word, God. We thank you for this word that we know to have faith in the fire. And as we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we just acknowledge you in all our ways, we surrender right now all of our know-hows, all of our know-betters. We surrender our ways, our thoughts, and just let you guide us during this fiery trial. We thank you for the sister that shared this word, God, to encourage your people. May it not leave them as they leave this building, but may it grow in their heart and root and produce, God, fruit in this season. And when they need it in the trial that they're going through, God, they are able to recall everything they heard. I pray that you would just bless your people as they leave out. And I pray that you would bless the offering, God. May it go forth and continue to prosper your gospel. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.